Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Let me turn this off. Zach Karskadin coming to you live from North Carolina, and just wanted to play that as I guess that's the new anthem for today as the mask mandates for planes, trains, and automobiles, I guess now, have been removed thanks to a judge out of Florida, and I'll get to that here today. And it's a reminder for us all to not give up, even when all seems lost and all seems hope, is look, you can continue to stand up against this overreach that's trying to occur in this season and in this land right now and in, around the world. And it's time to stand up in order to silence our enemies, as our topic is today. And I want to start off in the Word and our study in Psalms 59, and I want to read the first six verses because it gives us a good timeline scripturally of how things can occur and some prayers that we see an example from David that he reached out to the Lord for. And so I'm going to add this to the screen here if you can read it. And verse 1 talks about how, "Deliver me from my enemies, O God," is David crying out to the Lord, as Saul had sent enemy men to watch over him in order to kill him. "Set me securely on high, away from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from those who do iniquity, and save me from the men of bloodshed. For behold, they have set an ambush for my life. Fierce men launch an attack against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. For no guilt of mine, they run and set themselves against me. Arouse yourself to help me and see you, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel. Awake to punish all the nations. Do not be gracious to anyone who are treacherous in iniquity. Selah, they return at evening. They howl like a dog, and they go around the city." And it goes into more of the things that they're doing in the later verses. And in verse 14, again, it's that same verse in 6, is they return at evening, they howl like a dog, and go around the city. And they're looking for a way in and a way to attack them. And the reason they weren't able to is because he did have authority to be able to come after him. And there David's saying in verse, in one of the earlier verses, he talks about they come to bloodshed and attack for me. In verse 3, not for my bloodshed, nor for my sin, but they have iniquity. If we listen to anything Ira taught yesterday and Sunday, and more so last night, he was more specific on it and the authority. And we've been teaching about that. The authority that one has is, look, all sin falls short of the glory of God. But if we're in that humble, repentant state, confessing our sins, repentant, turning from our evil ways, then the blood of Jesus covers us. And the Lord can cover us and protect us. And even when they come back at evening, and that's the point of here in our study of reordering our day, is at the evening, or in the biblical order of the day of how the sundown is the start of the new day. So when the start of the new day arises, the enemy tries to come bring accusations against us. But if we come confess, if we come lay down our anxieties, if we get in that right alignment with the Lord, we can cry out and ask for his protection. And the prayer point that Chuck points out here for this day is to ask the Lord to silence all the enemies of your day. And what a great segue into what has recently happened out of Florida in the fact that a judge stood up and looked at the laws on the books and said, enough is enough. As we see now, major airlines coming out and standing on the side of sanity. And what's interesting is immediately as she made that ruling, they're like, okay, cool, we're not going to do this. And because TSA said they're not going to update it. And I think one of the funniest ones, the airlines that put out was it Frontier Airlines that said, to mask or not to mask, the choice is yours. And that's always what people have been asking for, is look, if you want to wear a mask, if you feel comfortable doing that, then do it. I know in Asia, more so specifically Japan, they are more accustomed to wearing masks. So if you saw anything, they didn't really force people to wear masks over there. They were highly advising it, but they people already did it anyways. And part of that is because they're in a more condensed culture. And like some people in the dead of winter, when it's 100 degrees Fahrenheit in Japan, they'll wear masks. Some of the women just don't want to wear makeup and other reasons for that. But we're seeing this tide turning when a judge, Catherine Kimball Mazel, a Trump appointee, stood up and looked at the actual ruling from the Biden administration of why they put this into place. And part of her ruling was looking at how they defined protecting. She looked at the logical inconsistencies that the CDC gave with all the clear with entry to border. And this is the interesting is for Americans, they had to put all these masks on for flying on domestic transportation, but illegals coming across the border didn't. You didn't have to test them. They didn't have the mask. They didn't have to do anything. It's just, oh, well, we're going to let them in, blah, blah, blah. Now, Trump used Title 42 to get rid of a lot of people from preventing them from coming across the border. So this is a actual good thing. And there are still people, because there's still the question that has to be determined of, will the DOJ move forward in trying to overturn this? And what they're going to do, or at least what they're going to try to do, is to challenge whether this judge has the proper quote-unquote authority to overrule this call it unconstitutional mandate. And so what's interesting is an analysis from somebody. They said, who should decide whether air passengers must wear masks? A federal agency staffed with experts accountable to the president, who's accountable to the people, or a 35-year-old Trump judge in Tampa? Kind of pushback on that would be is I would say the people who are quote unquote experts. That's debatable, because they're not. Most of them are not. They're not medical experts. They're just presidential appointees to begin with that. They're accountable to the president, who's accountable to the people. Is most people don't know who these people are, so you can't really hold anybody accountable, which I'm not going to go down that road. But it brings up the questions of, okay, what's next? Is this going to stand? As we lead up towards the midterms, you would say it would be disastrous for the Biden administration and the DOJ to try to keep this implementation in place. Meanwhile, again, the inconsistencies at the border. And I want to bring this article up from CNN because they point this out of, well, the DOJ needs to look at it. The agency is reviewing or assessing the situation for potential next steps. Because they're going to consider whether they should or should not go after this and try to challenge this in the court systems based upon authority. And so we'll see what lays out here. We want to pray that the Biden administration has wisdom to not do this and go forward with it. But if they do, it's a hangman's noose, where they might be creating their own rope to hang themselves. And the CNN article talks about confusion in the wake of the ruling. Well, we're not sure this is the right thing to do. And look, there is nothing that would stop somebody from wearing a mask. If you feel like that is your choice, if you feel sick, whatever the case may be, that's totally your choice. Nobody's stopping you from that, but you can't force people to do that. Now, part of the ruling that she put out doesn't get to the bottom line issue, because that's not what the case was arguing. The case was arguing that how the CDC defined the word sanitation was not in alignment with legal precedent, and it doesn't deal with the issue of whether the government even has the right to even do this. And this goes back to cases, the 1917 and all the other cases before leading up to that, which are not being dealt with right now, of whether local federal government has the actual authority to do such a thing. Based on legal precedent right now, it says yes, but this case was built around the definition of sanitation on a statute in 1944 that gives the federal government the authority in its efforts to combat communicable diseases to issue regulatory concerning sanitations. And so she came down and ruled and said that wearing a mask cleanses nothing because it doesn't sanitize anything. So the first thing when I read this was, I'm glad she did it, but this leaves an open door in the future to, if they can legally define how these medical terminologies mean to make it uphold in the court of law. Because if the federal government can still do this, then if you just change the proper definitions, then you can give them the authority. They can convince congressmen, courts to be able to do that. But that's not the real question. And the real question is still not being asked or answered, which is, does the federal government even have the authority to do this? So it could be a catch-22 later down the road. A lot of judges and politicians don't want to go near that question because they feel like they have the proper understanding to do such a thing. So we'll see how this plays out later on down the road. But I want to take a step back, and after we've praised this victory, let me give this prayer point on this issue. I'm going to make sure it's the right one. I'm going to hold off on that one. So I want to dive into a little bit on the update on Ukraine and Russia, because some things have come out, and it deals with specifically some meetings that the president and his administration are going to be having today. But first, a little bit of update about what's going on in the war over there. Russia has increased its bombing and shelling of Mariupol and other cities. I saw this morning they took another city, supposedly. What's interesting is they're crying foul on the fact that there's a war going on and people got caught up in the war. Meanwhile, they're ignoring what Russian troops did near Kiev. And so it's a battle of the news narrative coming out of this issue. So there's a lot going on there. The EU's having discussions about banning Russian oil sooner rather than later, which is interesting, but because still at the same time, you need to go buy oil from somewhere. And a lot of the sanctions that they're putting in place don't actually prevent oil and gas companies from buying Russian oil and gas off of the black market. They can still do it and get around it. And that's what they're doing, is they're creating shell companies, which is funny. Shell is making shell companies and going buying oil from them in Russian rubles at a lower denomination. Very interesting. But what we want to pray about for this, our president here in America, is there is a call that he is supposed to be having today. I'm not sure what time, with allies to discuss the Ukrainian crisis, including reported to coordinate on holding Russia accountable. The White House said, quote, "The president will convene a secure video call with allies and partners to discuss our continued support for Ukraine and efforts to hold Russia accountable as part of our closed coordination," end quote, it said in a statement. And this goes back to some of the things I talked about yesterday about Ilhan Omar wanting to get the U.S. to adhere to the ICC laws, which is, number one, unconstitutional, but then opens up Americans to a host of bevy laws that we do not vote for and do not stand for, number one. But then number two, it's in the guise of going after Putin and holding him accountable. So we want to be weary of talks and efforts of this from this administration. As the that call is supposed to be happening today, I would imagine it would happen here shortly because they like to get that type of stuff out of the way as it is afternoon going into evening into Europe right now. So we want to continue to pray for this administration on to have the fear of the Lord, listen to the Holy Spirit. It's not necessarily just the president. It's his advisors and those who are around him, those who have this fear of the Lord to be able to have a voice and an ear with the president right now on Ukraine, on Israel and China. And speaking of Israel, that leads me into this next story because there have recently been reports that came out that showed Iran is now armored up. They have the weapons that they deem that they need, and which is why you're seeing attacks in Israel and around Israel and the Middle East increase from Iranian-backed forces. And they came out and warned Israel that in the process of getting back in Iran and U.S. negotiating the quote-unquote Iran nuclear peace deal, that if Israel were to do anything, that Iran would then hit the heartland of Israel and attack them if they did anything. And so now a threat has been made, and they make these threats all the time, and Israel's used to this, and they have superior forces than what goes on in Iran. But the issue is if you just keep shelling and shelling and shelling and shelling and shelling and shelling and shelling, Israel has to spend 50 to 1 versus what the Iranian forces and Hamas and Hezbollah have to spend. So you have this from Iran, threats being made while they're trying to get into a peace deal with the United States. If we're an ally with Israel, that this right here should be a warning to this administration to not get in this deal. If at a time where they're trying to get to peace, they're popping off at the mouth, saying, we're going to do this if you do anything, and Israel will defend itself, especially with this administration, knowing that they're left alone right now on an island because of how this administration is operating. Then you have, which is more alarming for Israel because this one's a little closer, is the head of the Lebanon's Shiite Islamic political party, Hezbollah, Mohammed Raad, announced over the weekend that in Lebanon's parliament, so from the floor of the government in Lebanon, that he is asking for $9 billion to wipe out the state of Israel from the face of the map. And what this ultimately does is this underscores, again, at the same time, while Iran is asking to get back into this quote-unquote peace deal, to remove sanctions, to remove the Iranian Revolutionary Guard from the terrorist watch list. These are the things that they want to get into this peace deal. We'll get into this peace deal, but you have to do this. First of all, that's not how you operate a peace deal, number one. But again, the Hezbollah is a Iranian-funded terrorist organization that operates in the Middle East and specifically holds its leaders, hold positions of authority in governments such as Lebanon. And there's been a battle with Israel and Lebanon with those who are in control there. So we're seeing this anti-Semitic spirit rise up, these potential attacks. And the reason I bring this up is because in our prayer focus of praying for this administration on Ukraine, Israel, and China, is Israel is probably more important than both of those, and it is in the heart and the eyes of the Father. Is what our administration does could cause backlash on us as a nation for whether we stand or don't stand with Israel. So we want to be aware and sober about what's going on, keeping our emotions in check, and praying for this president to have wise counsel around him to listen to those who have the fear of the Lord in this season and moving forward. Which leads me now to our southern border. So there was, probably saw this. There was a recent report that came out on Fox News, and this is actually a really good report. And how it was obtained is, I think, more importantly, and what was in it, is that via a Freedom of Information Act request, the Border Patrol finally released information that from January 20th, 2021 to December 27th of 2021, at least 23 migrants whose names were on a terrorist watch list were arrested. Let me repeat that. 23 migrants were apprehended who were on a terrorist watch list, and it was silence from the Border Patrol, from the DOJ, from DHS, this administration. And there was a former U.S. Customs Border Patrol commissioner and chief of the border, Mark Morgan, who raised some questions. And he said, it's not the real question we need to be asking this administration is, what did you do with the 23 people from the terrorism screening database you took custody of? Their arrest would have triggered further investigations by the FBI and other law enforcement entities. Two questions. Did you release some or all of them? Or did you remove some or all of them? Those are fair questions to ask this administration about what is going on with the 23 known individuals who were caught on the southern border. Now, this leads into May, where you now have the potential, it will most likely happen. Title 42 will be removed, and there will be no legal authority for this administration to be able to remove people based upon infectious disease and stuff like that, which is what Title 42 does. At the same time, they're not adhering and upholding Remain in Mexico, which is probably the bigger issue. And there are some ICE agents who said, we have lost control of the southern border, Border Patrol agents, I should say, who have said, we've lost control of the southern border. We don't know who's coming in, what's going on. And this bodes well for cartels, human traffickers, which, again, talked about before, there's an estimate of upwards of $1 billion a month that they're making for people paying to get across the border, to the drugs and whatever else they're getting back. So we want to pray for wise leaders to surround President Biden and advise him on securing our southern border. Whether he'll listen or not is a different story, but let's pray that they come around him in this season. Because at the end of the day, he has a choice to make. Does he secure this border? Does he continue to allow lawlessness to flow into this nation, whether it be people who are coming illegally, breaking the law day one when they step foot on the soil of America, bringing drugs, sex trafficking, etc.? Coming for what purpose? Oh, they're just coming for a job. Do we know that? Are we sure about that? We don't know. And then the fact that they're curtailing the court dates and everything like that, that they're given a huge cause for concern. And the fact that we only know of 23 that actually came across the border that they caught. Because if they're illegal and they're here to cause harm, they're going to kind of want to come in quietly and not be caught. So there could be unknown names of people caught around the country. And that's happened before, and that's been released. New York Post, we've talked about it. Breitbart's talked about it. Other organizations, it's widespread out there. So there's that issue going on. And I want to bring this up because this is a good closing point, I think, for today and this week again, because of travel, I'm not going to have the ability to do my morning show this week. But I'll be back next Tuesday as we get back later Monday night. Of what Texas Governor Abbott is doing of sending people from Texas and the southern border to DC is showing, look, something needs to be done. Somebody in the Biden administration needs to do something. You can't just let this go forward because it causes problems with what Texas economy is and et cetera. And so what he was doing, we talked a little bit about this before, he was having inspections done on 100% commercial vehicles, but then he signed a treaty saying, okay, Mexico, if you will prevent people from coming across the border, basically if you will adhere to remain in Mexico, because he signed a treaty with them, not because it's, you know, federal law and a matter of national security that something the Biden administration should try to be upholding. No, that's not the case. He's saying, and he's holding this key over the Mexican governors in four different districts within Mexico along the border, that if they uphold to preventing people from crossing the border en masse, then he will not tie up millions of dollars in economic resources for everyday people in Mexico by having 100% inspections being done. But we'll see, and I think Abbott knows this. We'll see if this actually goes through, because a lot of these politicians that he's making these agreements to have a incentive to not adhere to this, and they're been investigated for corruption and wire fraud and a host of other things from even the Mexican side, but they don't do anything because it's corrupt. He is even putting on, he's like, all right, if you do this, we're good. I'll let the flow of the economy go. And this is kind of a backlash on him doing it. But he did say this. He said, if there's not a slowdown in illegal immigration, there will be a re-implementation of 100% inspection of all commercial vehicles, which harms Mexico, the Mexican economy, cartels, whoever may try to be sneaking through, slows down miles long. So this is a step in the right direction because somebody needs to do something. And we'll see what happens after that, because as we get closer to the midterms, we're seeing the rise of effort being put in towards, and I've talked about this before, about how important this is, about who controls the counting of the vote. And you have the Zuckerbucks and all these other organizations who are privately funding how local elections are run and what type of equipment they're using and who's doing this. And I want to bring this report up because it highlights the effort being made by political party in the fact that Democrats are now having a candidate recruiting group called Run for Something that is looking to pitch party donors on the effort that they call Project Clerkwork, a three-year program that would focus on local elections and help recruit candidates in 35 states. Ultimately, if successful, it would find, train, and support 5,000 candidates for local offices in charge of election administration, as this is being reported by Politico. Okay, we saw these last elections that is what it comes down to, is who is counting the vote? Who is there to deal with the problems that arise, whether it be from mail-in voting, regular voting, somebody filled a ballot out wrong, the hanging chad in Florida, whatever the case may be, is you want both parties there to have eyes on. For the past, Republicans have not been there. They've, oh, well, no problem. Of course, nobody's going to cheat. Nobody's going to lie. Nothing's going to happen, whatever the case may be. And there's other arguments there which are totally just far-reaching. But I say this to say is, just because you pass a law, which are good, these are great laws that are coming into place, of number one, giving more hours for people to vote, requiring ID, making them more secure, et cetera. Those are great, but it doesn't end there. It's not about who casts the ballots. It's about who counts the ballots. And at the end of the day, this is still a battle point, and we need leaders in every aspect, local community, the state, the federal government, to understand this and understand these policies. And it, to the border, to the mask issue, to coming out of understanding what went wrong on these overreaching government policies that were enacted for safety reasons, even though the understanding that the judge even pointed out in Florida showed to be illogical at best, but it still doesn't answer the questions that are actual policy questions of, does the government have the authority to do X? Do the people have the ability to stand up and stand up for their rights in X or Y area? And so as we move forward, I'm going to continue to pray for this, and I'm going to end on this for today and this week, of interceding for current and future leaders to arise who have the fear of the Lord, understand the times we are in, and use wisdom and revelation to clearly define the policies they are running on and advocating for. There are more reports coming out that even those who are quote-unquote Freedom Caucus members, that when they ran on certain issues, and they are already walking back those stances on certain issues. I don't have time to get into it today, but my point is even people who you think are the right people, who you think stand up and say they stand up for right things, is go back to what Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. Okay, you say these things, where have you done these things? And we have to assess, when it comes to these midterms, who these people are who are running. Are they social mediaites? Are they there for power's sake, for popularity's sake? And yes, they may seem and have a basic understanding of what they want, but where have we done these things that we want? Where do we understand the intricacies of putting policies in play? About how to write policies, which most of them don't do. They hardly ever write a bill to begin with. And look, you don't have to be a lawyer to do it. You can still understand how to write a policy and put things forward if you would take the time to do that. But what most of them are doing is taking the time to learn social media and gain a social media following and be popular and make all these great social media clips, but yet they don't do anything. And then we wonder why nothing ever gets done. And we sit there, oh, this party does this, that, and the other. Look, you can say that all you want, but at the end of the day is, okay, are we going to allow that anger to motivate us to get something done? Or are we going to sit here and just wag the finger? And I think it's long time enough for us to just sit here and wag the finger. It's time for us to take that anger, take it to the Lord, and ask the Lord to reveal to us what we need to do. Is it just to pray? Is it to get involved? Is it to go to a local school board meeting? Is it to go to a local election, county commissioners meeting, mayor, citywide meeting, and just sit there and ask a question? Bring things up? Partner praying for our local officials, state officials, federal officials, as we are here praying for the office of the president? This is not about a certain political party. This is about praying for God's will for this nation so that we can get back to the destiny that this nation has of being a nation that spreads the gospel of the kingdom to not only this nation, but nations that we are called to, not only biblically, but mandated here for this nation. So I digress with that. I leave with that huge thought. And yesterday, as I talked about, of go look at in the mornings where we're not doing this. Listen to what Ira talked about. Chew on that. It's going to take some time there, number one. And then also, let's start looking at who our politicians are who are running. You've got primaries coming up. Primaries are honestly going to be more important than the actual midterm elections come November. Because if you don't put the right candidate up, and look, there may be some who are popular now because Democrats may want them up because they know they can defeat them in the long run, because they know something about them that you don't know, or blah, 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 whatever in the spirit. They may be operating in the demonic and understanding what pitfalls may fall there. Ask the Lord to show you in dreams and visions in your prayer times about who these politicians are, about who you need to be voting for. Don't just look at what they say and what's on their website. Okay, let me see. Let's start here. Do you stand for abortion? I mean, do you stand for life? I stand against abortion. Do you stand against gay marriage? Do you stand against all these other issues that are out there, against marijuana, against other host of issues, biblical issues that we can easily look at? And then ask the Lord, okay, they say this, Lord. Should I vote for them? Let that be the question that marinates this week, and we'll be back next week, next Tuesday, picking back up as Congress and Senate get back to meeting in Washington, D.C. as they continue their recess. So blessings to each and every one of you. Again, won't be here this week. We will continue to have noon prayer today and the rest of this week. And I might be on those, maybe one of those on Friday, depending on our time. But let's continue to focus on what the Lord would have us focus on this week. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week, and I'll be back next week as we continue to stand and pray for the office of the president. Blessings, and have a good one.